Welcome to Season 7 of Tales of Wonder. I'm Moidan, and the first story I want to share with you is an Old Norse tale, The Magic Pipe. Once upon a time, there were three brothers, all the sons of the same father and mother. The two elder were hard-working, thrifty lads who had no care except as to how they might better themselves in the world. But the youngest, whose name was Boots, was not thrifty at all. He was a do-nothing and was quite content to sit in the chimney corner and warm his shins and think about things. One day the eldest son came to his father and said, "I have it in mind to go over yonder to the king's castle and take service there, for I hear the king has need of a herdsman to take care of his hares for him. The wages are $6 a week, and if anyone can keep the herd together and bring them safe home every night without losing one of them, the king will give him the princess for a wife." The father was pleased when he heard this. $6 a week was fair pay, and it would be a fine thing if the lad could win the princess for his wife. At any rate, it was worth trying for. So the eldest son cocked his hat over one ear, and off he set for the palace. He had not gone so very far when he came to the edge of a forest, and there was an old crone with a green nose, a yard long, and it was caught in the crack of a log. She was dancing and hopping about, but for all her dancing and hopping, she got no farther than that one spot, for her nose held her there. The lad stopped and stared at her, and she looked so funny to his mind that he laughed and laughed till his sides ached. "You gawk!" screamed the old hag. "Come and drive a wedge in the crack so I can get my nose out. Here I have stood for twice 100 years, and no Christian soul has come to set me free." "If you have stood there twice 100 years, you might as well stay a while longer. As for me, I am expected at the king's palace, and I have no time to waste driving wedges," said the lad, and away he went, one foot before the other, leaving the old crone with her nose still in the crack. When the lad came to the palace, he knocked at the door and told the man who opened it that he had come to see about the place of herdsmen. When the man heard this, he brought the lad straight to the king and told him what the lad had come for. The king listened and nodded his head. Yes, he was in need of a herdsman. He would be glad to take the lad into his service, and the wages were just as the youth thought, with a chance of winning the princess to boot. But there was one part of the bargain that had been left out. If the lad failed to keep the herd together and lost so much as even one small leveret, he was to receive such a beating as would turn him black and blue. Well, that part of the bargain was not such a pleasant hearing as the rest of it. Still, the lad had a mind to try for the princess. So he was taken out to the paddock where the hares were, and a pretty sight it was to see them hopping and frisking about, hundreds and hundreds of them, big and little. All morning the hares were kept there in the paddock, with the new herdsman watching them, and as long as that was the case, everything went well. But later on the hares had to be driven out on the hills for a run and a bite of fresh grass. Then the trouble began. The lad could no more keep them together than if they had been sparks from a fire. Away they sped. Some went one way, some another, into the woods, over the hills. There was no keeping track of them. The lad shouted and ran and ran and shouted till the sweat poured down his face, but he could not herd them back. By the time evening came, he had scare a score of them to drive home to the palace. And there, on the steps, stood the king with a stout rod in his hands, all ready to give the lad a beating, and a good beating it was, I can tell you. When the king had finished with him, he could hardly stand. Home he went, with only his sore bones for wages. Then it was the second brother's turn. He also had a mind to try his hand at keeping the king's hairs, with the chance of winning the princess for a wife. Off he set, along the same road his brother had taken, and after a while he came to the place where the old crone was dancing about with her long green nose, still caught in the crack of a log. He was just as fond of a good laugh as his brother was, and so he stood for a while to watch her, for he thought it a merry sight. He laughed and laughed till the tears ran down his cheeks, and the old hag was screaming with rage. "You gawk, come and drive a wedge into the crack so that I can get my nose out," she bawled. "Here I've been for 200 years, and no soul has come to set me free." "If you've been there that long, it will not hurt to stay a bit longer," said the youth. "I'm no woodsman. Besides that, I'm on my way to the king's palace to win a princess for a wife." And away he went, leaving the old woman screaming after him. After a while, the second brother came to the palace, and when the servants heard why he had come, they were not slow in bringing him before the king. Yes, the king was as much in need of a herdsman for his hares as ever, but was the lad willing to run the risk of having only a beating for his pains? Yes, the lad was willing to run that risk, for he was almost sure he could keep the herd together. It was not every day one had a chance of winning a princess for a wife. So they took him out to the paddock where the hares were. All morning he herded them there, as his brother had done before him. That was an easy task. But it was in the afternoon that the trouble began, for no sooner did the fresh wind of the hillside ruffle up their fur, then away they fled, this way and that, kicking up their heels behind them. It was in vain. The lad chased after them and shouted and sweated. He could not keep them together. In the end, he had scarcely 70 of them to drive back to the palace in the evening. And the king was waiting for him with a cudgel in his hands, and if the lad did not get a good drubbing that day, then nobody ever did. When the king had finished with him, he was black and blue from his head to his heels, and that is all he got for trying to win a princess for a wife. Now, after the second son had come home again with his doleful tale, Boots sat and thought about what had happened. After a while, however, he rose up and shook the ashes from his clothes, said now it was his turn to have a try at winning the princess for his wife. When the elder brothers heard that, they scoffed and hooted. Boots was no better than a numbskull, anyway. How could he hope to succeed where they had failed? Well, all that might be true, or it might not, but at any rate, he was for having a try at this business. So off he set, just as the other two had before him. After a while, he came to the log where his brothers had seen the hag with her nose caught in the crack. And there she was still, for no one had come by in the meantime to set her free. He stood and stared, for it was a curious sight. "Oh, you gawk, why do you stand there staring?" cried the old hag. "Here, I have been for 200 years. No Christian soul will take the trouble to set me free. Drive a wedge into the crack so that I may get my nose out." "That I will, and gladly, good mother," said the youth. 200 years is a long time for one to have one's nose pinched in a crack. Quickly, he found a wedge and drove it into the crack with a stone, and then the old hag pulled her nose out. "Now you've done me a good turn, and I have it in mind to do the same for you," she said. With that, she took a pretty little pipe out of the pocket of her skirt. "Do you take this," she said, "and it will come in handy if you're on your way to the king's palace. If you blow on the right end of the whistle, things around you will be blown every which way as if a strong wind had struck them. And if you blow on the wrong end of it, they will be gathered together again. And those are not the only tricks the pipe has. For if anyone takes it from you, you have only to wish for it, and you can wish it back into your fingers again." Boots took the pipe and thanked the old hag kindly, and then he bade her goodbye and went on his way to the king's palace. When the king heard what Boots had come for, he was no less ready to take him for a herdsman than he had been to take his brothers. "But mind you, you shall have a drubbing that will make your bones ache if you come back in the evening with even the smallest leveret missing from the herd," said the king. Yes, that was all right. The lad was ready to take the risk. So, all morning Boots herded the hares in the paddock, and in the afternoon he took them out to the hills, as the bargain was. There the hares could no longer be kept in herd. They kicked up their heels, and away they went every which way. Ah, so that was the game, was it? Boots was very willing to play it, too. He took out his pipe and blew a tune on the right end of it, and away the hares flew faster than they had intended, as though a strong wind had blown them. Presently there was not one left on the hill. Then the lad lay down in the sun and fell asleep. When he awoke, it was toward evening and time to be bringing the hares back to the castle. But not one of them was in sight. Then Boots sat up and shook the hair out of his eyes and blew on the wrong end of the pipe. Immediately, there was the whole herd before him, drawn up in ranks just like soldiers. Not even one of the smallest leverets was missing. "That's going well," said Boots. "And now we'll be going home again." Off he set for the palace, driving the hares before him, and as soon as he came near enough, he could see the king, standing on the steps waiting for him with a stout cudgel in his hand, for he had no thought but that Boots would fail in his task. When he saw the whole herd come hopping home, as tame as sheep, and turning into the paddock, he could hardly believe his eyes. He hurried after and began to count them. He counted them over and over again. Not one was missing. Well, Boots had brought them all back safely that time, but the question was whether he could do it again. Boots thought he could. Indeed, he was sure he could. So the next afternoon he set out for the hills, whistling merrily as he tramped along, with the hares hopping before him. And that day things happened, just as they had before. As soon as the hares began to stray, Boots took his pipe and blew them away as though they were so much chaff. He lay down and slept until it was time to take them home again, and then he blew them together with the wrong end of the pipe. When the king found the lad had brought the whole herd home again for the second time, he was greatly troubled, for he had no mind to give the princess to Boots for a bride. So the third day he bade the princess go out to the hills and hide herself among the bushes and watch and see how it was that Boots managed to keep the hares together. This the princess did. She hid back of the bushes. She saw Boots come tramping up the hill with the hares frisking before him. She saw him blow them away with his pipe, as though they had been so many dry leaves in the wind, and then after he had had a nap, she saw him blow them together again. Then the princess must and would have that pipe. She came out from the bushes and offered to buy it. She offered $10 for it. No, 50. No. 100. No. Boots had no wish to sell, but as it was the princess, and as she seemed so set and determined on having it, he would tell her what he would do. He would sell the pipe for $100 if she would give him a kiss for every dollar she paid. Oh, the princess did not know what to say to that. It was not becoming that a princess should kiss a herdsman. Still, she wanted the pipe, and as that was the only way to get it, she at last agreed. She paid the lad 100 bright silver dollars, and she also gave him 100 kisses out there on the hillside with no one to look on but the hares. Then she took the pipe and hastened home with it. But small good the pipe did her. Just as she reached the palace steps, the pipe slipped out of her fingers as though it had been buttered, and look as she might, she could not find it again. Well, that was because the lad had wished it back to himself. At that very moment, he was on his way home with a pipe in his pocket and the hares hopping before him in lines like soldiers. When the king heard the story, he thought and pondered. The princess had told him nothing of the kisses. He thought she had bought the pipe for $100, so the next day he sent the queen out to the hillside with $200 in her pocket. "The princess is young and foolish," said he. "Oh, she must have lost the pipe on the hillside, and no doubt the lad has it back by this time. Do you go out and see if you can buy it from him, and if you once have your fingers on it, you'll not lose it, I'll wager." So the queen went out to the hillside and hid herself in the bushes, and she saw Boots blow the hares away and lie down to sleep, and afterwards blow them together again in a twinkling. Then she came out from the bushes and offered to buy the pipe. At first the lad said no, and again no, and then no for the third time, but in the end he sold the pipe to the queen for $200 and 50 kisses to go with them, and the queen hoped the king would never hear of it. She took the pipe and hastened home with it, but she fared no better than the princess, for just before she reached the palace, the pipe disappeared from her fingers, and what had become of it, she did not know. When the king heard that, he was a wroth and angry man. Now he himself would go out to the hill and buy the pipe, for there was no trusting the women folk. If he once had the pipe in his hands, there would be no losing it again, and of that he felt very sure. So he mounted his old mare, Whitey, and rode over to the hillside. And there he hid himself among the bushes, and he hid old Whitey there with him, and he watched until he had seen all that the others had told him about. Then he came out and tried to strike a bargain with the lad. But this time it seemed as though Boots would not sell the pipe, neither for love nor money. The king offered him $300 and $400 and $500 for it, and still Boots said no. "Listen," said Boots suddenly, "if you'll go over there in the bushes and kiss the old Whitey on the mouth 25 times, I'll sell you the pipe for $500, but not otherwise." That was a thing the king was loath to do, for it ill befitted a king to kiss an old horse, but to have the pipe he must and would. And besides, there was nobody there to see him do it but Boots. He did not count. "May I spread a handkerchief between old Whitey's mouth and mine before I do it?" asked the king. "Yeah, they might do that." So the king went back into the bushes and spread his handkerchief over old Whitey's mouth and kissed her through it 25 times. Then he came back and the lad gave him the pipe, and the king mounted and rode away with it. and he was well pleased with himself for his cleverness, and he held the pipe tight in one hand and the bridle in the other. No danger of my losing it as the queen and the princess did, thought he. But scarcely had the king reached the palace steps when the pipe slipped through his fingers like water, and what became of it he did not know. But when Boots drove the hares home that evening, he had the pipe safely hidden away up his sleeve, though nobody knew it. And now, how about the princess? Would the king keep his promise and give her to the herdsman for a wife? Oh, but that was a thing the king and queen could not bear to think of. They put their heads together and talked and talked, and the more they talked, the more unwilling they were to have a herdsman in the family. So in the end, this is what they said. The princess was a very clever girl, and she must have a clever lad for a husband. If Boots could tell bigger stories than the princess, then he should have her for a wife. But if she could tell bigger stories than he, then he should have 3 red strips cut from his back and be beaten all the way home. To this Boots agreed. Then the princess began. I looked out of my window, said she, and there was a tree that grew straight up to the sky, and the fruit of it was diamonds and pearls and rubies. I reached out and picked them and made myself a necklace such as never was, and I might have it yet, only I leaned over the well to look at myself in the waters, and the necklace fell off, and there it lies still at the bottom of the well, for anyone who cares to dive for it. That's a pretty story, said Boots, but I can tell a better. When I was herding hares, the princess came up on the hill and gave me 100 bright silver dollars and 100 kisses as well, one for every dollar. Then the king scowled till his brows met, and the princess grew red as fire. Oh, what a story, cried she. Then it was her turn again. I went to see my godmother, and she took me for a ride in a golden coach, drawn by 6 fleas. The fleas were as big as horses, and they went so fast we were back again in a day before we started. That's a good story, said Boots, but here's a better. The queen came out on the hillside and made me a present of $200, and she kissed me over and over again. 50 kisses she gave me. Is that true? Said the king to the queen, and his face was as black as thunder. It's a great wicked story, cried the queen, and you must know it is. Then the princess tried again. I had 6 suitors, and I cared for one no more than another, but the 7th one was a demon, and he would have had me whether or no. He would have flown away with me before this, but I caught his tail in the crack of the door, and he howled most horribly, and there he still is, if you care to look, unless he has vanished in a puff of smoke. Now it's my turn, said Boots, and you may believe this or not, but it's mostly true. The king came up the hillside and kissed the old white mare 25 times. I was there, I saw. He kissed her 25 times, and he gave me $500, not to tell. When Boots told this right out before everyone, the king was so ashamed he did not know which way to look. Oh, there's not a word of it true. It's the biggest story I ever heard, said he. Very well, then I've won the princess, said Boots, and when shall we be married? And married they were that day week, for the king and queen could no longer refuse to give Boots to the princess for a wife. The princess was willing to, for Boots was a handsome, fine-looking lad. They had a great feast at the wedding, and plenty of cake and ale flowing like water. I was there, and I ate and drank with the best of them. Psh, there goes a mouse. Catch it, and you may make a fine big cloak of its skin. And that's a story, too. Please join me next time for another enchanting story here on Tales of Wonder.